Iwi are appealing a High Court decision which they believe sets the bar too high for the Waitangi Tribunal to summons a minister to give evidence. The court has set aside the tribunal's summons for the Children's Minister, Karen Chaw, over the planned repeal of Section 7AA of the Oranga Tamariki Act, which requires the ministry's chief executive to improve outcomes of tamariki and rangatahi Māori. Now, the court says the Crown has already given the Tribunal substantial information, 2,200 pages relating to the policy, including a ministerial cabinet paper and officials' analysis, which says that repealing Section 7AA would be worse than the status quo. Now, the court finds that the tribunal does have the power to summons a serving minister to attend and give evidence, but it must be, quote, clearly necessary rather than just relevant. And the tribunal is open to making, quote, adverse inferences about the minister's refusal to answer its questions in writing or in person. We're joined now by lawyer Annette Sykes, representing Ngāti Te Rangi Unuora, a hapū of Ngāti Pikiao. Kia ora, good morning, Annette.
Morena.
Okay, what is the basis of iwi appealing the High Court's decision in this case?
First of all, we've had 40 years of arrangements, Ngāti Pikiao, with various forms of the Oranga Tamariki offices and its predecessors. So our involvement with the care and protection and returning the authority of children placed in state care dates 40 years. So we actively participated in the proceedings in the High Court because we believe Section 7AA, while it's recent, is working to try to stem the tide of the numbers of Māori going into state care. At this stage, it's about 67%. So when the judgment came out late Wednesday night, we were very happy with two parts of the judgment, which you've just described in your intro. One is that the Waitangi Tribunal, which is the specialist body, has the power as a commission or commission of inquiries to issue summons and to issue summons for ministers of the Crown. Second, that in issuing that summons, they could require certain information that could be provided. Now, I want to also stress here, the tribunal was not criticised in this judgment because they have acted with mana and extreme care in ensuring that the relationship between the tribunal and the ministers of the Crown are based on deep respect. So they gave three options. One was answer some questions, provide an affidavit. Both of those first two questions were declined by the minister. And then the third option, which was, I think, an option of last resort, was to issue a summons requesting certain material to be provided. And then that option, again, they said you don't have to provide personal attendance if you want, as long as it's information. Of course, there was a further declination and the summons issued. We had a judicial review proceeding. And as I've said before, the two points we won on. The judge erred, in our view, in saying that the minister's personal involvement can only be incidental to the unspecified real issue. We disagree with that. She is someone like all other ministers, bound by ministerial responsibility and honour of the Crown. The second thing that we're also saying is that the test in meeting that conclusion, clearly necessary, is not the right test for the issue of a summons. And we say that it's well established that the tribunal's ability to discharge its functions should not be impeded without her hearing from the minister personally. Now, I've been practicing in this jurisdiction for over 40 years. This is not an unusual request. We only have to go to the COVID inquiry, and her, at that time, Minister Hipkins offered an affidavit. He didn't decline the request when it was made, and it was a very full affidavit as to why the various regulatory frameworks were set into place. So we have said that the logic of the judgment requires, I think, another deep think about it, because these are important constitutional issues. They're based on the pillars of Te Tiriti o Waitangi, relationships with the Crown, concepts of honour, mana and respect. There is another pillar pillar of the rule of law, which is fundamental. Everyone is equal before the law, and we should be actually subject to the judiciary separating from the executive to make appropriate looking at matters that are of concern to ordinary citizens. And finally, we got the Treaty of Waitangi.
Sure. Okay. So with this appeal, what is the process, the timeline? How does that happen? And is the ultimate goal you want the minister to appear in person or just to be compelled to give an affidavit?
We've only wanted the information provided. And, we want a precedent, an unwieldy precedent not set in place by this, because of course other commissions of inquiry will be wanting ministers on appropriate matters to provide information or appear where necessary. You know, the wine box, for example, these were kinds of important issues where ministers were brought to have their opinions heard and waited in the ultimate decision of the court.
What information is actually missing?
It's her personal knowledge. So you've described it quite well in your intro. There were Crown officials, a number of them, that said that this would be retrograde. You know, Section 7AA, why are you repealing it? The evidence that's available is pointing to this working, and so therefore their advice was, why are you doing this? That's what we want to know, because ministers have responsibilities, and under the Te Tiriti, the most important responsibility, I think, for whānau, anyone involved with decisions over our children and rangatahi, is why you're going to do something that may place the risk of those children to harm. Mm. And so that's what we want to ask her, and it's in her personal knowledge. At 61, the judge in the High Court said that her personal only involvement can only be incidental. We disagree. She's the Minister of Children. It's more than incidental.
There is a wider issue at play between, well, the government and the Waitangi Tribunal too. I get your thoughts on that. Obviously, Shane Jones has talked about
I don't think we should mix the kai, and I don't really want to make comments about what those ministers have said. Those are separate matters to this. This issue should not be used as a football by those that have other agendas. This is a legal issue. I believe in the rule of law, and we are asking clarity for the application of the rule of law in the constitutional fabric of this nation, of which Te Tiriti o Waitangi is a fundamental pillar. That is why we're here. We're not here to listen to what ministers may have to say about other agendas that they've got. It's this discrete issue that we're asking the courts.
So do you or don't you see a power battle there between the government and the judiciary at the moment?
I see a pattern occurring of reluctance on the behalf of some people, I wouldn't say it's the government, to facilitate an easy relationship. You know, there's been a good balance until this case. As I've said, ministers have come. I mean, I've cross-examined a former Prime Minister in the hearing on mandate, Prime Minister Jim Bolger. He was a National Party member. There has been absolute respect in the past by significant ministers of the Crown to this forum, and we want to maintain that balance moving forward. It's really important we signal to the nation and to our clients that yes, the mana of the tribunal is important and the mana of the Crown representatives of importance, and they can engage in a respectful way.
Appreciate your time this morning. That was lawyer Annette Sykes, who represents Ngāti Te Rangiunuora, a hapu of Ngāti Pikiao.